You are now entering the very world of Milton Jones.
Good evening, I'm Milton Jones. You know what it's like when you're walking down the high street and you see someone doing market research and they see you and you see them and then they start running. I got home from work the other day and I said to my wife, hello, hon. Not that me and my wife have pet names for each other, it's just she's German. London, that's a bit of a disappointment. The houses and the hotels aren't the same size or colour as I thought they were going to be. I guess Monopoly is just a game. So here I am then, about to be crushed by a newspaper printing press. Ironic, really, as I'm a promising young journalist. Tomorrow my face will be all over the front page. My legs, my arms, my life begins to flash before my eyes. Here comes the angel. She looks a bit grand.
Hello! Oh, I see you're in a spot of bother. Oh dear, I hope it isn't going to be messy. I hear you're quite well known.
Yes, my sure touch and sharp eye are the talk of Fleet Street.
So how did you end up in a printing press?
I fell in.
Well, as you might know, it's my job to put together a little tape of your life. I'll make a cup of tea in a minute. Now, if I can just set up the equipment...
Come on, come on. I want to talk about the problems that face a world which is increasingly obsessed with the meaningless and trivial.
Muffins?
Yes, please.
Now, what on earth made you want to be a journalist?
My father owned the local rag, but I was determined to leave the dirt and poverty of a village that only had one piece of cloth to clean things with. Then I decided to follow an age-old profession. You see, journalists have been with us since medieval times.
You mean storytellers wandering from town to town?
No, the medieval times, that was the first free newspaper. And this was the second.
Hello, I'm your local free ads paper. Loot.
Please buy this horse that I offer you, with its fetlock broad and a brand new shoe. Its mistress is a lady fair, and it's only ridden at weekends.
No, I can't afford it. Is it free for me to put an ad in?
Certainly. What do you want to sell?
It's a muck car.
Uh-huh.
It's just got a new wheel and it's orange.
Sorry, no can do.
Why not?
Nothing rhymes with orange.
Well, I could chuck this bit of Hessian over.
Oh, no. I don't do covers.
I'm here with Milton Jones, a young man who starts his career on hospital radio.
Yes, I was a volunteer at St. Thomas's. It was great fun, putting on records, reading requests, and making funny phone calls. In the end, though, they threw me out of the operating theatre. So, I joined the radio station.
Oh, dear.
Hello, this is Milton Jones with your latest weather update. Outside is fresh and windy, but inside St. Thomas's, as always, it's stale and muggy with an overpowering smell of antiseptic. Traffic now. Avoid the geriatrics department if you can. A wheelchair has shed its load and is blocking both lanes of the corridor. Sport? I don't think so. And now it's time for some music. I am playing this one for everyone with depression on the window ledge of the psychiatric wing. Jump,
jump. But then one day you were summoned to see the governors.
Jones, we're fed up with your unruliness. Lack of respect, ridiculous competitions, and lewd behavior. Meet your successor, a nice bespectacled boy, Christopher Evans.
Eventually, I got a job with the official magazine of Hartlepool Football Club, which was called The Spectator. From there, I moved on to the Llandiffel Echo. It wasn't a Welsh paper, we just had a clumsy typesetter. Tragically, soon afterwards, the editor died from poor circulation.
It all sounds like rather a lot of hard work.
Well, on a small paper, you had to be flexible. One week, you could be writing the motoring column, the next, the obituaries.
Oh, yes, better have a look. Now, where did I put my reading glasses?
Local dignitary Arthur Phillips passed away peacefully yesterday. He started work as a delivery boy in 1933, riding an old-fashioned Holdsworth bike. This wicker-basketed babe goes from 0 to 10 in under 2 minutes. It comes in dusty black, and all in all, madam, it's a machine that can deliver your groceries any time of the day. He eventually went on to occupy a position on the board, where he was given a company 2-litre Ford Zephyr with a built-in heater and walnut trim. Oh yes, that olive-green gas guzzler could really give a dolly bird, his wife Angela, who he married in 1959, a pumping powerhouse of a lift home. His funeral was a small family affair, thought only for me by the poor handling of the Rover V8 hearse. What a dreadful way to go.
Who would have thought that so soon afterwards you would have been standing on top of a hotel in the middle of the night with explosions going off all around you?
It started about 10 minutes ago. There were a couple of explosions just to the west of the city. The sky was lit up with what looked like trace of fire. Then we saw some sort of rocket explode in midair. All that remains for me to do is to wish everyone in the town of Inverness a very happy November the 5th.
So you were fired again, I noticed, and moved to another local paper far away.
You know, it's like, you know, you're going up the motorway in the car, and you go past Barnstable, and everyone in the car goes, "War, Barnstable, war, Barnstable, war." And you go past Birmingham, and everyone in the car goes, and you get to Liverpool. And a delegation comes out from the city and says, "Look, we really don't like the stereotypes that you're using here." And you say, "Yeah, fair enough." And you turn around and your wheels are missing. In my spare time, inspired by the journalist who'd forged the Hitler diaries, I decided to do the prequel, The Diaries of the Kaiser.
Oh, right. Well, do let's hear a bit.
Ah, Herr General, what have you brought for me?
Mein Kaiser, this is the design for the new German army helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's very strong, robust, and it's got a great big spike on top of it.
Ah.
It has many, many advantages. For example, our armies would be able to camouflage themselves as railings in the event of any park-based conflict.
Excellent, Herr General. With our other great military innovation, the submarine, the war is as good as won. Let us try it immediately. Morning, gentlemen.
Everyone stand up for the Kaiser.
Morning, Kaiser.
I've seen a lot of changes in my time as a journalist. For instance, I remember when press conferences were first invented. They held a press conference to explain them.
So to recap, when someone calls a press conference, they will read out a statement to a room full of journalists.
Will we be able to ask questions?
Yes, you will.
Can we ask any question at all? Like, why don't lollipop ladies use those big stop signs to stop wars?
No.
Oh.
Thank you, everyone. No more questions, please.
How will we know when they're finished? Once the paparazzi were allowed into press conferences, the whole thing degenerated.
Smash the bell leg, then. Oh, and give us a big smile.
What are your measurements?
Oh, yes. Can you take your top off, then, love?
No, I don't think that would be appropriate behaviour for the Secretary General of the United Nations.
But apparently you had a growing reputation as an investigative journalist. And that's how you got your first break in television, working as one of those nice young men on that slice.
It was awful. I wanted to be serious, but we were forced to speak this other weird, made-up language.
What was that?
Esperanto.
Good evening. We've had a letter from Mr. Gillard from Worcester, enclosing his gas bill. It was for over £3,000. We said, surely you haven't used that much gas. And he said...
That's right, I haven't.
We contacted the gas board. They said,
We are very sorry, but we have no record of a Mr. Gillard in Worcester.
So, we said...
There's been an earthquake in Guatemala. Thousands of people have been made homeless.
But surely, if Mr. Gillard received a bill, then you must have heard of him. And they said...
Whoops, we've made a terrible mistake. Would you like to hear an apology in song?
And of course, we said...
No! Why would we want to hear the gas board singing a song when there's been an earthquake in Guatemala?
Now, for Mr. Gillard, all this is a bit of a disaster.
Not as bad as the earthquake in Guatemala.
And then we got a bit fed up and said...
Milton?
I said, what?
And we said...
You're fired. Cyril. Milton Jones, about to die for the cause of investigative journalism.
Yes, I was obsessed. My hero was Roger Cook. I even had my own investigative music and everything. But then it began to affect my personal life.
Milton, you ready yet? We don't want to be late for the party.
Good evening. My name is Milton Jones, and I'm half-dressed and looking in the mirror. Tonight, we'll be asking the question, why am I not ready yet?
Come on, we've got to get to Fulham. Hurry up, we'll be late. Where have you put the camera? I want to take some photos.
Jane does not know about the hidden camera.
Why are you talking to yourself?
And tonight we'll also be asking the question, why is Milton Jones talking to himself?
Where's that music coming from?
And where's that music coming from?
Oh, I'm off. I can't wait forever.
And why can't I hold down a stable relationship?
You are a pathetic individual, aren't you? Perhaps now would be a good time to meet your opposite from a parallel universe, ace reporter Milton Smith.
Hello, Jones. It's Smith here.
Hello, Smith.
And hello to you, too.
Oh, hello.
And I say hello because you're just the sort of beauty that I might see in Hello magazine. Having a picture of...
Oh, well, really. Now, Milton, you could learn a lot about investigative journalism from Smith. His actions brought down an American president.
You shot JFK.
No, I discovered the tapes that embarrassed President Nixon into resigning.
What were they? Phil Collins?
No, Watergate. And what a gateway to fame and fortune it was for me.
And he's been played by Dustin Hoffman in a film.
You're Rain Man.
So, Jones, have you got a story, eh?
Yep, I think I might be onto something. Animal experimentation.
Oh, yes?
Apparently somewhere they've got a tiger, a pig and a donkey, and they've taught them all to speak English.
Really?
Well, according to this bloke called Christopher Robin, anyway.
The problem is, Smith, that Jones is about to be crushed by a giant printing press.
Is that a problem?
Listen, whoever's chasing me is trying to take over the whole of the media. He's going to swamp the world with information.
But why?
He wouldn't tell me.
Would anyone like some homemade cake?
Ooh, I love homemade stuff.
Here, have this then.
What is it?
A bomb.
I'll get you for this, Jones.
You decided to seek a fresh challenge. You took a job as the only reporter in a tiny American town.
What a mistake that was. The most uneventful place in the world, Roswell, New Mexico.
So you came back to Britain and you spent 2 whole years shuffling around the streets of London living undercover as a tramp.
Undercover?
Yes, well, anyway, you have to start again, right on the very bottom rung of the media ladder.
That's it for TFI Friday this week. Tune in next week when I'll be in the nude again. All right, that's a wrap.
Look, I want a word with you now.
Chris, it's great to be working with you at last.
For me?
Oh, yes, for you.
Listen, if you're going to be part of the crazy gang that follows me around, then you have to laugh and clap in the right places.
That was wrong, wasn't it?
Yeah. Only when I say something funny, like on the last show when I said how ugly that man was. Or when I took all my clothes off. That was funny.
Oh, sorry.
You don't understand, do you?
Yes, I do.
You're fired.
So after that, you went back to working for yourself.
Yes. Things began to get better. I got some freelance work for the Church Times. But the old investigative habits die hard. Archbishop, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Just a couple of questions. I've been wondering what that is.
It's my bishop's staff.
It looks like a crook of some kind.
Well, you could call it a crook, I suppose.
Do you know a lot of crooks?
Well, I don't really know what you mean. They're just inanimate objects, aren't they?
Yes, of course. Let me try another tack. Do you know anyone called Douglas?
My nephew, yes.
Any others?
The Bishop of Chester. He's a Douglas, isn't he?
Have you ever given them both a lift in your car?
Not together, though. No. Separately, yes.
So you have taken Doug's?
Hang on. I can see what you're trying to do. You're just trying to tie me up in knots.
And you'd like that, would you?
Oh, how dare you? I'm a good bite to...
Oh, perfect. Now, could you just take a picture of it? In between jobs, I returned to forging the Kaiser's diaries.
Ah, never mind, Herr General. The helmet is still a good idea. We may have lost all our submarines, but we will win the war by air power with our magnificent Zeppelin airships. Good morning, gentlemen.
Everyone stand up and salute the Kaiser!
I wanted to use my journalistic powers for good, so I even wrote speeches for the then Prime Minister. But it always seemed to go disastrously wrong.
Right, Milton, let's have a look at what you've written for my keynote speech to the party conference.
Here's the full draft.
It is a great privilege for me to introduce the leader of the Band Union Solidarity, Mr. Lech Walesa. It must be very taxing to lead people in such circumstances.
And at the top of the page, I've jotted down an easy way to remember it.
Introduce poll tax.
I'm not sure you should phrase it quite like that.
Nonsense. And what have you written for me for my Army Chiefs of Staff Council tomorrow?
Here we are.
I was at my sink the other day listening to the church bell ringing when I thought, what is the point in fighting over an island in the South Atlantic whose only product is guano?
And the key words?
Sink the bell, guano.
Oh dear. And the Council of European Ministers on Wednesday?
Britain has every right to protect her sovereignty. We will defend it in the morning, we will defend it in the evening, we will defend it on the beaches, in the fields and in the towns. Come on then, Johnny Foreigner, do you want some?
And at the top?
Don't worry, I'll remember that one.
Oh, Milton, you still haven't tried any cake, Swiss roll?
No, I couldn't. I've always been suspicious of the Swiss roll during the war. Which reminds me of the time I spent as a war correspondent with the Mujahideen in the hills of Afghanistan.
Oh, but I were a war correspondent. It makes me quite dizzy.
Yes, years ago, I was actually on the last chopper out of Saigon. Had to cycle very fast. The Khmer Rouge, they were after me. Obviously, I didn't want the Khmer Rouge to catch me because I thought they'd probably break the gears or something. So I had to go AWOL, which of course is initials for absent without leave. Because like everything in Vietnam was initials, MIA, missing in action. KIA, ORA, that was Kia Ora. Of course, not everyone came back from Vietnam. The Vietnamese, for a start.
And so it was that you returned to the Far East to seek a different kind of broadcasting ethos.
But I found even in Tibet, the most remote communities had been corrupted by tabloid television.
Welcome all of you, brethren, to
A Question of Zen. This week we're coming from the lovely foothills of Mount Everest, and it's almost time for the first question. But first, let's have a round of applause from our studio audience. Who, of course, are only allowed to clap with one hand. So, Brother Cujo, are you ready with your buzzer? Brother Rama? Right, here we go. If a tree falls in a forest and there's no one to hear it, does it still make a sound? Brother Cujo?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Cujo, that's not the right answer. Try again.
Well,
No.
I'm sorry, wrong again. I'll have to give the point to Brother Rama.
But he hasn't even said an answer.
And his serenity has eloquence beyond that of 1,000 words. Next question. What is the nature of Buddha? Brother Cujo again.
Is it?
I'm sorry, Cujo. Brother Rama gets the point again.
What?
For he has realized that search for an answer is not the true purpose of contemplation.
Hold on a minute. Hasn't he taken a vow of silence?
Oh, I'm sorry, we're run out of time.
But that's not fair.
All right, Brother Cujo, do you want to go for the big prize?
Well, yes.
Wrong again. Surely you know that all desire is suffering. So this week's prize goes to Brother Rama. You've won the chance to be elevated to a state of bliss. Of course, there are two ways of attaining this. You can look inside yourself for true meaning, or you can spend a week being pampered at Priory Grove Health Farm deep in the delightful Sussex countryside. Well, that's all we've got time for in this life. See you next time, possibly as a rabbit or a twig.
I returned home deeply disillusioned with the Western media. Every detail of news that we're fed is cynically produced by a multi-million pound machine with vested interests.
Where did you learn that?
I read it in the paper. I decided to set up my own interactive TV news station. Since ordinary people had no effect on the news, at least they could change the way it was reported.
Good evening. Here's the news. The Prime Minister met his German counterpart today for talks about the future of Europe.
First of all, you could change the accent to that of your local region.
The Prime Minister met his German counterpart, dear, for talks on the future of Europe.
Alternatively, you could get it read in a particular emotion, like anger.
The Prime Minister met his German counterpart today for talks on the future of Europe.
And finally, you could get the auto cue to change one key word and add in the appropriate sound effect.
The Prime Minister met his gerbil counterpart today for talks on the future of Europe.
It was an immediate success. People went crazy.
Financial news now. The dollar rose 3 points, which resulted in a lot of activity on the stock exchange. The government have announced that the rate of inflation has exceeded acceptable levels. After the largest bank raid in recent years, police announced today that they have found the robbery vehicle. That's all from me. The nudes will be back at the same time, toboggan.
In time, I was planning that each set would have its own remote control, and that if you saw people fighting, you could press stop, and they would stop. If children were crying, you could press play, and they would play. And if you saw a dog running towards you, you could press pause and it would trip over.
Well, I'm sure that would be a tremendous success.
But the price of that success was the jealousy of others. One night when I got home, I found that my ketchup, my bottle of HP and some mayonnaise was missing. I was devastated.
Why?
A good journalist always protects his sources.
I think I see.
It was round about the time I got my own TV show that I began to feel like I was being watched. As a precaution, I began to vary my route home, but to no avail. As I was boarding a ferry to the Isle of Man, I was abducted. I was blindfolded and padlocked to a radiator, but this didn't seem to put them off either. Eventually, I found myself trapped in this huge, disused warehouse full of printing presses and televisions. It was the heart of a massive publicity operation. But who could possibly want all this publicity?
Me, Chris Evans!
Why am I here? And why are you wearing that fluorescent white jumpsuit?
It's not. I'm naked.
Oh.
I want you to sell me your interactive TV station so that I can make people laugh at everything I say. And if you don't, I'll humiliate you for the rest of your life.
Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me unless, of course, you were to put me in that printing press.
Good idea.
Bother!
Well, this is where I came in. You're about to be crushed to death by a printing press. Sticky bun?
No, I'm just a bit nervous.
You know, I really only have a moment to show you some outtakes from other people's lives. You're not the only person whose life goes horribly wrong, Milton. Listen to this.
Hello? Speaking. Double glazing again, Tom.
Mm.
Can't believe it. No,
No, look, I told you last week the answer is no. Now, for pity's sake, will you remove my name from your records and stop harassing me like this?
Dad, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have to pay them for the conservatory loans.
Oh, if you insist. Here's one more. Right, I've got one leg in the service station, and if I could just get the other to reach the central reservation...
Grandma, I didn't think this is what you meant when you said come round and play bridge.
Well, this is where I say goodbye. It's been charming.
Watch her.
Watch her.
Watch yourself on the way out. There's some ink on the floor. So, all alone. The other day, my wife was wearing this slinky number, which only really worked when she went downstairs. I was watching TV the other day, and I flipped over, and you know, all I could see were the brown cushions on my sofa really close up. My dad was a dustman. I didn't like him coming to get us from school, though. Not because I was ashamed he was a dustman, it's just he never knew which day he was going to come. So here I am. About to be pulped by Chris Evans.
So, Jones, prepare to be pulped.
Hold it right there.
Esther, what are you doing here?
Well, I was watching your interactive TV channel, and someone said your kidnapper had demanded an unbelievable ransom.
You'll never catch me.
Ah, but I rang the police, and they said...
All right, Evans, you're under arrest.
Take him away, officer. You're going away for a very long time.
Yeah, and don't forget your toothbrush.
Who is he anyway, this ginger naked person?
You mean you don't recognize him? He's one of the most powerful men in the media.
Now that is funny.
That was The Very World of Milton Jones, starring Milton Jones. It also starred Alexander Armstrong and Sally Grace. The show was written by Milton Jones, with Dan Evans, John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Mike Haskins, Mark Evans and James Barkman, Sean Pye and Tony Roach. The producer was David Tyler, and the program was a Positive production for the BBC.